I'm 5 episodes in. I think there's one or two more episodes. I'm not positive of the new Adam Curtis documentary. There's little aspects to it that are really, really sort of sicko. Because as Harvey J.K. would say, neoliberalism sort of started with Carter in the 70s. And it started with Margaret Thatcher in the 70s. So Carter is president at the late 70s. Thatcher is elected prime minister 79 or 80. The difference is, it seemed to work a little bit slower from Carter to Reagan to Bush than it did for Thatcher's 8 or 9 years. It was like supercharged. That's number one. Number two is, it was the same stuff. It was like, people just see the stuff they see on TV. There was an interesting segment of one of the early episodes that when the economy is sort of collapsing in early 80s Britain, and we can think of early 80s United States, but it was a little bit worse there. It was like happened earlier, or they were losing their empire more than we were losing it. Now we're losing it. But in any event, there were these gangs that would go out in like old industrial towns that had been gutted, like that we have these Midwestern towns or whatever. But they were going out with this new technology, like the camcorder, and like sort of vigilante recording like prostitutes and johns. It was like, so and putting it like, you know, circulating it like you would see like a viral video. And they're like, oh, crime's up, you know, so it's sort of like, this is just like general crime fear-mongering. But they were doing it in like 1984. And it's really nothing different than they're doing today about like...
Wait, 1984? Wow.
I should have picked a different date. God damn it. Got my ass.
Wait, so were these like compilation tapes of crimes?
No.
Oh, no. Okay.
So it was like, there was video, and I basically should have said like 1986, maybe. But it was like, you know how there's videos now, and it's sort of like it's not specifically, but generally the argument for like this DC occupation is like the crime is going up. And so have you ever seen these videos of like San Francisco where like gangs go into a Walgreens and take all the shampoo, oh, yeah, all that stuff? It was like that. There was just like these guys in their neighborhood in Manchester or in Durham or in Birmingham or in some sort of like hollowed out industrial center with like a camcorder. And they were like, they knew like where prostitutes would take johns, and then would come up on them and be like, you think you should be doing prostitution here in our neighborhood? Everything's gone to shit. You know, it's like a Trump. It's like a sort of a Trumpian thing.
Well, but it's like the pedophile hunters almost.
Yes, but it was happening literally in 1985, 6. Like,
years?
Yeah. Maybe like a little bit before
two,
that.
Just three, those two? Not 1984. I guess the point being that,
oh, so like, now you're saying it never happened in 1984.
No.
Expecting us to hold two contradictory thoughts at once.
Look, doublespeak. Some people call it doublespeak. Well, I'm about to have the 2 minutes hate.
That's right.
On somebody's face. In the shadow of Rockford Tower, behind enemy lines, in the belly of the Delaware Way Beast. I'm Rob. This is the Highlands Bunker Podcast. This is what it is. I know some people, they don't like it. I know a lot of people shouldn't listen. That's the one thing. Like, why do people, they know that they're mad, but then they just listen anyway. Why do they do that?
Don't you kind of hate listening to anything? I guess you don't.
I don't, actually. No. Not really. I'm trying to think, like, not really. Yeah. I don't think so.
Back in the day, I would listen to WDEL in a hate-listening fashion.
See, I don't understand why Because that's all like afternoon drive.
Yeah, getting people riled up. Yeah. The commercials, there's commercials like every 8 minutes.
Yeah. But see, when I think about that, first of all, I think about Rick Jensen, who I've never, ever heard broadcast in my life. I don't know
what
he
does. He's got a great voice.
I
hated listening to it.
That would be a hate listen.
Yeah.
But I just know that he's just like getting people riled up. But I also think about like Al Mazzetti, who is a very old podcast guest.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like I would say he's like a progressive lib.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
And so he's like, but he was still getting people riled up.
Yeah. He would kind of put on a bit of a character, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
That, you know, first term Obama.
I don't know what you're talking about, putting on a character. I don't know. What do you mean? All. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Now, I will say this. I remember for a couple of years, I was working at Wells Fargo in Philadelphia. It was a building by the airport, so I couldn't really take the train. I was living in Newark. And for like the last 10 minutes of my drive, I would listen to the end of the old Sean Hannity radio show.
Oh, that was the other one I would hate listen to.
And wasn't even like, I didn't even hate it. I really looked at it like a comedy. It was almost like the Stern show. Like you would hear the same guys call in at the end when they were like, hey, you have 30 seconds to say your thing. And it was like, oh, it's old grandpa from Iowa. He's going to do his thing. You know, they had like bits. Yep. It was so obviously like phony baloney.
Remember they would interview dumbass college students on the street and be like, who is the vice president?
They still
and
no do
one,
that.
And no one knew Brandon back then. So no one knew the answer.
I don't know. I mean, who was Reagan's vice president? See, you guys don't know.
Shrub. Well, no, Shrub's father.
That's right. Well, who was Shrub's vice president?
Carl, do you know?
Am I supposed to actually answer?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the potato guy.
Who's potato guy? Dan Quayle. Yeah. Dan Quayle. People don't remember that shit. I mean, why would they? It's such a fucking joke. Like no one's
was Eisenhower's remember. Vice president.
That's a great point. I don't remember.
Turkey Dick.
That's wow. Right. Yeah.
Holy moly.
Gonna reread Nixon Land.
Who was Albert Carvel's lieutenant governor?
See, you know what? Now you're just. Now I see what you're doing right now. So, folks, we're having a late night little session, and we wanted to, like, clue you into it. Like, you don't get to be here for a lot of, like, the stuff that we talk about that's really fun, really cool. It's mostly like real hack jokes or really serious like conversations like we had last week with the moms and potentially a girlfriend. We don't know. But tonight we just want to do something fun for you guys because I'm just going to sit here and drink and chill. And we're going to do a little history lesson. As you guys know, Carl has been furiously working on this book. And I know he's furiously working on it because it used to be, and I think Bill will agree with this, it used to be like once a week we'd get a clipping from Carl's research. You know, he'd be in the archives somewhere and he'd send us a photo of something or a picture of something or something he was reading. But lately it's been like every day, every other day, we're getting some wild fucking Delaware way shit. So I know that you're buckling down.
Well, it helps specifically. I've been trying to push my way through the Delaware Heritage biographies of the Delaware governors from Albert Carvel to Pete DuPont. And they are not universally well written, but they are universally very readable. So I will give them that. So you can blow through them pretty quickly.
Well, that's helpful.
How are they formatted? And like roughly how long?
They're all kind of different. So they're all about like 150 pages. I think the Sherman Tribbett one is like several hundred because he had a crazy 4 years.
The National Guard. Speaking of DC, because people are like, I've never seen.
You're thinking of the wrong good old boy Democratic governor.
Oh, that was Terry.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Tribbett.
But Terry died two years after he. So he didn't have too much postscript there. So they're all a little bit different. They tend to be kind of thematic chapters, but some of them, they're all based on interviews with members of like the cabinet and other people who they knew. And so some of them will have a lot about the person's life beforehand. Some of them are just about the governorship. And some of it's like literally just quotes. Others are written more sort of based on recollections, or like with the Larry Nagengast one about Pete DuPont, it's a little bit more like an actual book. Whereas the one about Charles Terry was written by basically a friend of his, and it's about his recollections, including some interviews. And then the one about...
It would like, be Albert... like me, like, writing Bill's.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'm like, Bill, great guy.
And with Albert Carvel, it's literally a conversation. It's
just so good.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
And that is cool.
But, they're, you know, it's good resources to have. I don't know why they stopped with Pete DuPont, like... I would like to see one for Mike Castle or...
Because they're all the same after that?
Yeah, I guess it gets a lot of...
So whatever Pete DuPont did, they've basically all tried to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter, right?
Right.
I mean, would you... That would be my... Actually, now that you said that would be my...
I'd read the Tom Garber one, though.
Yeah, that's probably good. But again, there would be little good nuggets in there, but generally speaking... They basically all did the same thing. Like, did Carney, Castle, Minner, Markell, did they really do anything like that set them apart from any of the other ones? I don't think so. Like, they're basically...
Markell did Bloom Energy.
But, again... Did they do anything that set them apart from anybody else?
Well, that was the one that didn't work.
Well, but, I mean, a lot of them didn't work.
AstraZeneca worked for a while.
For a while. But, I mean...
The good old FCBA worked for a while.
I'll tell you what, Fisker works, because Bill's still pushing
that. Yeah, it's still firing.
I guess it is powered by Bloom Energy. Okay. So
here's the thing. Bill doesn't even have to get that Fisker oil change. It has 200,000 miles. He's never changed the oil. He's never even gotten new tires. Fisker fucking rules.
The perfect car.
That's the best. But I mean, I feel like they've all done kind of the same thing. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, you would know better than me. But I don't think there's like
I'll know
big...
soon.
Yeah, Carl will tell us.
Yeah. So in that vein, we have for you just a funny. We're gonna riff on some history. Some talking points of something.
Yeah.
And so, well, here's the thing. As is our sort of the way we do things, we kind of know what Bill's going to read right now, but we don't really know. So, because I want, like, reactions to it. So, Bill has found just an old Delaware Way report of some sort. From maybe 20 years ago.
Let's see, 13.
13 years ago, and we're gonna rap about it, and we're gonna try to put it in some context and make it fun. So, Bill, what have you got for us today?
Sure. So, I don't know how this was like open in a browser tab over the last week or two. So, I'm assuming Carl linked to it, but it's a Delaware Today.
Oh yeah.
Article.
Oh no. So you know what this is.
I know exactly what this is.
Yeah, is. It's.
I sent this over as an example of how infuriating it is to read about Delaware writers write about Delaware politics.
Oh, here we go.
It is. Yes.
So it was the perfect intro then.
Yeah, it's like it's hard to explain. You know, it's like how you can kind of tell when things are written by AI now. This has just like a similar flavor to me. Is written just in a very specific style that almost seems like it's imitating something else, but it's so saccharine. It's, I don't know, but it's a, you know, classic Delaware Way stalwart, Celia Cohen.
Oh, the goat
in the life and style
Hold
section.
On.
Yeah.
I mean, her name just should evoke that.
And you know, for those not totally in the know, a longtime political gadfly, writer, biographer, probably a memoirist at
times.
Yeah, actually, a blogger.
Can we? This is a good time to ask you because I actually don't know this. Like, I mean, she's not like a journalist that we know. So, Carl, do
you? She was.
I mean, she was.
But that we don't know her personally.
I mean, like, that did. Like, she's only known for doing these hagiographies and,
well,
like,
she was in,
hanger
she was
on.
The News Journal for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
And then she just basically retired to write, like, to, like, transcribe the stories.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I had the book with me, the Only in Delaware.
Me too.
Book, because there's a section in it about basically. She was describing the newsroom's relationship with, like, the political class, and it was, like,
the goddamn news.
Very.
They're trying to get us.
Very cozy, let's say.
Yeah.
And so I think there is a bit of that. And if you, you know, like we were just talking about, it's like some of these, the biography written about Charles Terry was literally written by a guy who was a News Journal reporter when he met Charles Terry, was like, this guy seems really cool for some reason. And then literally did work for him during his campaign while he was still working for the News Journal.
Sounds
and then
about,
got
right?
hired on as press secretary,
I mean,
afterwards.
Look, that sounds about like Starkey. Remember Starkey? That guy worked for the News Journal.
Yes, yeah, so that goes
then
back
worked for
a while.
Carney. Yeah. Like, this is all.
Yeah,
and so, yes, Hillary Cohen never officially
ringable.
Worked. For a politician like that, as far as I'm aware, but I guess she just took the route of, like, we're going to do the same thing, but without getting paid.
Yes.
So, Celia Cohen, now, is this a News Journal article, or is this an essay that she wrote on the blog?
No, this was a special to Delaware Today.
Ooh.
The sort of the glossy local, you know, here are the top three Rehoboth Beach homes over $1.3 million.
Yeah, who makes the best orange crush in Dewey?
Yes.
So, Celia Cohen, in Delaware Today magazine, the glossy magazine. Now, what year is this?
We're still in first term Obama.
Okay.
June 2012.
June 2012. So, we're just at the tail end of Obama 1.
Right. Delaware Grapevine by Celia Cohen, A Tale of Delaware Politics, Delaware's Endangered Species. Delaware used to be a swing state. This should not be confused with a swinging state like Nevada, which has Las Vegas.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know how blue it's supposed to be intended to be.
Is it supposed to be like swinging, like the swinging 20s, or swinging like we're fucking each other's wives?
It could be either.
I mean, Celia's not like she's not like that.
I don't think so.
So it's swinging like. It's like, hey, all the kids are swinging out there at the Hard Rock Cafe in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Let's take it that way.
Okay.
In the spirit in which she intended it.
Which we don't know how she intended it.
That's right.
Maybe she's a freak. Maybe she loved it. You know, we don't know.
Still, the swing state and the swinging state could be said to have something in common. What happens in Vegas should stay in Vegas, and politically speaking, what happened in Delaware used to stay in Delaware. This meant that Delaware had its own special way of practicing politics. It swung easily between the parties in an intimacy only a small state could love, politics by consensus. For every Bill Roth, there was a Joe Biden. For every Tom Carper, there was a Mike Castle.
That's all the same.
That's all
thing.
You could say.
Yeah, for every,
you could literally
for
say
every,
that about
for
everything.
Every, for every color cream, right. There was also an Ivory.
For every Julianne Murray, there is a Medina Wilson Anton.
That's right. For every tan, there is a latte.
You weren't supposed to bring that up. We're not going to explain what that means.
All right. Nowadays, it's different. Like, for every Joe Biden, there's a Beau Biden.
Dude, you have to play Chopin's Death March in there. You have to play the Chopin's Death March. Okay, fine.
Where have you gone, Delaware Republican Party? Pete DuPont turns his lonely eyes to you.
There's now we'll play the Death March.
Yeah.
Or when somebody says Mike Castle. We could do it, actually. There's a lot of space. Yeah.
This is 13 years old, so.
A lot of these people are dead.
Celia Cohen's still around, though.
Is she? Yeah. Why don't we get
She's
her
not writing, but.
She's not writing.
Can we get her in
here? She rage quit after the Donald Trump election.
That would be fascinating.
Can we get her in here?
I would really like to talk to her because she
has a lot of research.
I'm going to try to at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of these people want to talk to me, though.
I mean, she seems like she's going to want to. Her whole life's work is tied up in this fucking myth.
It's true.
Like, that's actually what the Adam Curtis thing is about, which is all of his work is about, is like these stories. Like, it's a myth. Like, you know, Thatcher sold people on like this myth of like, hey, this is what we're doing. She's like, it's like Churchill during the war. Well, Churchill like killed a bunch of Indians, you know, and it's like, but it doesn't matter. That's the story. And when I think of Celia Cohen, I think of that. I think of the Adam Curtis sort of like, you built the myth up of what this little thing is, and I'm fascinated by it. Anyway.
There's no denying what has happened around here. It is a tale of Delaware politics and the deathly collapse of the two-party system, like something out of the darker parts of Harry Potter, only scarier because it is no fantasy. That's a sentence.
A Harry Potter reference. I guess we have to. It's
like something part. It's out of the darker parts of HP, only scarier.
The darker
part. Like the air conditioning.
First of all, did people remember that was a kid's book?
Yeah.
Well, that's for kids. Okay, anyway.
The New Order came with the new century. Not that the early signs of it were really clear. After 12 presidential elections of impeccable swing state credentials, voting to send the winner to the White House every time, the voters in 2000 went for Al Gore over George Bush. For the moment, it did not seem quite fair to revoke Delaware's bellwether status, not with the country itself at cross purposes. Giving the popular vote to Gore and the electoral vote to Bush. Hanging chads can be like a hung jury. It is a little inconclusive.
Hanging chads. Dude, I feel like we have to actually, like, do people remember that shit? The hanging chad? Choo.
I think this is something that I just wanted to put a drop in a footnote, is like, there's something about this style of writing and writer that is always making Delaware the main character in their mind. In every person-to-person interaction that they're involved in. And like, keeping in the footnote, you know, we were talking about the Galluccio's story earlier, and it's like Tom Capano and Anne-Marie Fahey ends up being discussed in every version of this article I've read. And it's like, you know, you don't get, I don't think you're winning the lottery by dropping these names now.
So I sent like, it, I, the guy I play pool with is just like a regular guy. Like, he doesn't listen to podcasts. He doesn't even know how to get a podcast. He watches fucking YouTube and TV. We play pool together, you know. We talk about, like, old blues rock and shit. And he doesn't get Delaware Online, doesn't pay for it. He'll see it in the paper or see it, you know, however he'll see it. So I sent him a PDF mm-hmm. of the thing because we play, like, you know, we're over there all the time. He knows. It's probably a story
he wants to read, right?
Yeah. And he goes, it was a nice story. I feel bad for the bartenders. You know, we know all of them. And, you know, he knows them. And he goes, the Capano detail was a little weird, I thought.
Yeah.
Just like a random guy. He was like, what is... I'm like, that's clickbait, bro.
Yeah, that's clickbait. It's 29 years ago, but it's we should shoehorn it in here.
Sure.
Along with the time, it's like, yeah.
Jack the Ripper took a piss in there one time.
Right.
Yeah. Who gives a shit? Come on, buddy.
All right. In retrospect, though, Delaware actually did mean to vote for Gore. The state had quietly gone Democratic and would keep going Democratic. Republicans are red. Democrats are blue. John Kerry and Obama would win Delaware, too.
Come on.
That's right. The bellwether.
This is actually what created millennial cringe. This was written when they were like, this is how people got millennial cringed.
The Republicans had hollowed out. Not that it was all their fault. For one thing, the Democrats became respectable. The good times under Bill Clinton as president and Tom Carper as governor let people stop shuddering about the Democrats as that 70s party of George McGovern and Jimmy Carter, along with poor old Sherman Tribbett. The governor who is undone by red ink, a teacher's strike, and a bank collapse that nearly took the state with it.
Yep.
You want to talk about that teacher's strike?
Yeah. Let's talk about the farmer's bank.
Yeah.
The original bank bailout.
For another thing, the DuPont Company was shrinking and slashing two-thirds of its state workforce.
They did that.
During the 1990s. Jim Soles, the late political scientist from the University of Delaware, I'm assuming Rob's old professor.
He taught me constitutional law 2.
Cool.
Maybe constitutional law 1 when I was a poli-sci undergrad this would have been about 95. So like a 300-level poli-sci class, I had Dr. Jim Soles.
And if you'd run a better campaign in 1974, we might not have usurious credit card rates at the same rate we do now.
You know what?
So, yeah.
He wore a fresh carnation in his lapel every day.
So Soles was the first one who pointed out that the fallout for the state was not just economic, but political. The company was a fountainhead of pro-business, low-tax, and energetic, civic-oriented people. If there had not already been a Republican Party, the DuPonters would have invented one, because inventing was what they did.
They did invent the Delaware Republican Party.
They invented, like, and you're inventing it right now by, like, writing what would be, like, I'm not going to say a children's book, but would be, like, a history book for, like, a third grader.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, at a third grade level, this is what happened. Like Carl said, they did invent it.
Yeah, T. Coleman DuPont literally bought the Republican Party out from J. Edward Attucks.
The Napoleon of gas.
The DuPonters would have invented one because inventing was what they did, and then they lived it because better living through chemistry was also what they did. It's like, how did this get past the editors?
Better living through chemistry, everybody has to use that. It's like the biggest DuPont-Delaware cliche there ever been. Yep.
DuPonters were candidates, DuPonters were campaign contributors, and DuPonters were political volunteers. Most of all, DuPonters were voters. When DuPont retreated, so did the Delaware Republicans. It's ironic that the last DuPonter in state office is Dave Sekola, a Democratic state senator. The era of the oval elephant was over. Meanwhile,
yeah, when the big chemical company moved out, apparently the politics changed.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder. That's funny.
Meanwhile, the Republican Party nationally was moving rightward. Ever rightward, from Ronald Reagan to Newt Gingrich to George Bush to the Tea Party, and the state Republicans were pulled along too, until they installed new officers who include John Sigler, a past president of the National Rifle Association, and Ellen Barosi, the founder of A Rose and a Prayer, which is pro-life.
Who? I feel like the Snoop Dogg gif. I'm right click.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah. Major players. Yes, wise guy Republicans are calling their party Guns N' Roses. The shift did not sit well with upstate suburban voters whose superior numbers tried...
Upstate suburban. I'm sorry, bro. Upstate suburban voters, you would still see that fucking set on fucking Delaware Liberal today. Anyway, go ahead.
It didn't sit well with upstate suburban voters whose superior numbers drive the elections. They tend to be pragmatic, live and let live folks. Swingers.
Here we go again.
They do not like government messing with their morals or their money. They do not like the intrusion from the right or the left. They don't like it. Like nature, politics abhors a vacuum. Rushing into the center void was a new lineage of pro-business and energetic, civic-oriented Democrats. Not as stringent on the taxes as the Republicans, but 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Say hello to Jack Markell, the MBA governor, who was once an executive at Nextel, where he coined the very name for that telecommunications company that later merged into Sprint. Also to Chris Coons, the senator who previously was a lawyer working in the family business, namely W. L. Gore and Associates, the makers of Gore-Tex. Coons did get called a bearded Marxist because of an essay he wrote in college, but really... He is about as much of a bearded Marxist as Ebenezer Scrooge.
Noted bearded man.
So true. Yeah, did Scrooge have a beard?
I don't think so.
We have to go.
Certainly not in the Muppets version.
We're going to have to go to the original Dickens here.
The voters had not changed. The political parties did. This explains what happened to Mike Castle. when he needed moderate voters in the Republican senatorial primary.
Didn't you just talk about how the voters changed?
In 2010.
Look, with, like, the DuPont thing?
Right.
There's a whole section about that.
There's a whole section, like, two paragraphs up. When he needed moderate voters in the Republican senatorial primary in 2010 against Christine O'Donnell, they were not there. They had ceded the party to the conservatives and gone elsewhere. Castle Republicans had become Markell Democrats. Delaware has spent the last decade or so shedding Republican office holders, no matter if they were as prominent as Roth and Castle or as prosaic as legislators, leaving the Democrats with the governor, the entire congressional delegation, every statewide official except the auditor, and the General Assembly.
Wagner, right? The auditor. Have you ever gotta be Wagner.
Another footnote. Have you ever heard someone be like, you know, I'm one of these moderates. I want the auditor and the treasurer to be from two different parties.
That's... Yeah, they're all in the Delaware Democratic Party, though. Really.
Yeah, exactly. There are super voters. They're super at it.
They're superheroes.
Yeah. Under the current conditions, the Republicans' only consolation is Sussex County. Not that it should come as a surprise. Sussex is such a world unto itself that it has inspired the droll observation that Delaware actually has three political parties. The Dems, the Republicans, and Sussex County. We're not really saying that anymore, are we?
I don't think we ever really said that. I think that's like she's trying to create a little, like, create something.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
Sussex votes conservative. Sussex has always voted conservative. Like the voters in the old South, it used to go Democratic, but it goes Republican now. Only its attitude is the same.
I'll tell you what, she passed over a really, really interesting thing there.
Yeah.
That would have really been important to why what she's doing is total fucking buffoonery. And she could have explained why that is. It probably would have taken, I don't know, 100 pages. But yeah, this is fucking buffoonery. Keep going.
It reminds me of, I read a portion of the Bobby Byrd memoir that I believe she ghost wrote. And
yes. It says, I think
as written by, yeah.
Yeah, it's like as told to or something like that.
Which, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
fine.
Saves him time.
Yeah, exactly.
Carl's going to know how much it sucks.
Carl's going to write my biography in the same way. He's like, he talked into the microphone. I just wrote it all down.
But I forget the exact situation he was describing, but it was like, he just basically talked about, like, all the lawsuits that were going on in the late 60s, like, and just pivots from there. Yep. Like, talks over all of the civil rights era educational stuff.
He does not give a shit.
Doesn't give a shit. So he can talk about how he brokered the, like, motorcycle helmet on the back of the motorcycle bill.
Still the case. Still the law today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he thinks that's cool.
Yeah.
But then, like, it's just like, oh, you know, there were some lawsuits.
There was a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. I did a motorcycle helmet bill. Yeah. I don't know if you guys know
He has a long section about, like, the first time he did patch through calls to lobby for one of his corporate bills. And he was really proud of that.
But again, in this, here's what I'll say, and then you can keep going. But the whole point of this is to make the idea of the Bobby Byrd motorcycle helmet bill like a chapter in the story, in the book, when actually it's just fucking nothing. Like, yeah, I mean, it was good at the time. It's like, but like, let's get some fucking perspective here. I have something to say about this, and I'm going to keep it to myself till the end.
Okay, we're almost done.
We can keep going.
We'll keep consuming this garbage.
Sure, you know what? We'll keep. We love it, folks. We love it.
What is this with Delaware nowadays? Even the Democratic Protectorate of Massachusetts could replace Ted Kennedy with a Republican.
Oh man, this is like some old meat depressed shit.
This is a different era.
Do you remember this election, this one in Massachusetts? I remember, like, where it was that the Democrats had 59 senators, and this guy,
Brown.
What, Brown?
I think so.
Underwear model.
Did
he do underwear?
They almost had 60 senators, but the Republican won Massachusetts.
Ah, whatever.
Can you imagine?
I mean, look.
Didn't pass card check. 59 senators. The two-party system is an as American as Uncle Sam. Its decline here is troubling to nobody less than John Daniello, the Democratic state chair, who said, "I'm concerned about it. The job of both parties is to compromise with their single issue groups and get to the middle."
That's the job. Look, did we all agree on that definition of the job?
Mm-hmm.
Did I agree with that? Anyway.
Come back, Republicans. Even the Democrats need you.
We don't. Who's we, even?
Political gadabouts. I don't know.
That's it. Come back, Republicans. The Democrats need you.
Which I think was echoed by Brandon specifically, like in the 2020s, right?
No, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
the rational Republicans.
Like, I don't know how much we want to get into like the what's going on now, but yeah, it's always like, look, this isn't your grandpa's Republican Party. They're crazy. Like, you got to come back. We all need each other to function. But that's like economics, right? It's like, yeah, we want a system to be this way, and we can explain the mechanisms of the thing we want it to be. But that's not like a science. That's not like the way it is. You're just like, yeah, we want this sort of fake sort of facade while we just operate as a... First for DuPont, and then after Pierre DuPont knew that the DuPont family was going to disinvest, came up with a new scheme. Like, so you need a story. But the story is such, it's like for simpletons. It's like, and then he bought everybody fun Christmas gifts. And they had a turkey. And they all sang carols all night. And nothing else happened. Like, it was like you said about, like, skirting over, like, stuff in the 60s happened. Like, yeah. The Bobby Byrd thing. Like, yeah, I mean, that's all phony baloney. It's fucking crazy.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Coons. I think also the... you know, folks with this perspective think there need to be two parties is because, like, the Democrats in particular, they need the gravity of wherever the center of or whatever, wherever the gravity within the Republican Party is the point at which it starts negotiating against itself. You know what I mean? Like, they want almost the pull of the right to be as far away from the whatever they perceive the center to be. Again, however the Democrats perceive the center is up for debate, but they almost like the rightward shift because it's like they have to, they're from an easier negotiating place, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they don't have to take a lot of like...
Because they're just like, oh, we don't really
have
a choice.
They're crazy and I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
Well, pretty crazy. It's like, hey, there's nothing I can do. Look, they're great. They're not doing it. Yeah, I mean, but they don't want to differentiate. They would never really want to do that. You know? So, do you think you can... Because I'm not even trying to make a joke of it or insult anybody, but Celia Cohen seems like somebody who would be interesting to speak with because she did this.
Yeah.
Like, she definitely was like, I'm the stenographer of the story. Like, I guess is what I would say. is that how? Because I also know that we have historian friends. Carl, you're doing all of this research. She is sort of, it is an important sort of. What she's documented is actually very important.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because it sort of tells you, like, I see what you're up to.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't read Only in Delaware because we are like agreeing with the takes. We read it because it has a lot of very valuable information about how things worked over the last 70 years.
Right.
Yeah. We love how they got their coolers of beer out on the green on June 30th when they passed the law to make sure that there's only 3 liquor distributors in Delaware, right. So that the 4 families can concentrate their wealth, and then they all got free cases of beer, so they drank that beer. That's a fun story.
Yeah.
Do you think that we should? I mean, there's there's a way to tell that story that actually sounds very fun.
Have you ever had someone describe to you like 20 times in your life the inane story about how there's not really a nickel deposit when you try and bring your cans back at the liquor store? You ever heard anyone tell you that story, Rob?
Yeah. I always thought that was like...
It's so fascinating, right?
Look, you see there's states on there on the bottle, all that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it is a little bit annoying that, like, in Delaware, it just seems like... It seems like the dumb stories became, like, the story. Hmm. Like, it's one thing to have these, like, little, like, oh, you know, my hometown, they thought fucking, you know, I don't know, ranch dressing was mayonnaise or whatever. I don't know. They just thought, whatever. They thought this, oh, you know, who came from my hometown, like, some astronaut. Just make stuff up. But, like, that's, like, a specific thing. I feel like Delaware, the state, does, like, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, somebody said today, they're like, you know, I live on the same street as Ryan Phillippe's sister.
No shit.
I'm like, that's...
That's ring the bell.
That's got to ring the bell. And all Delaware stories are so fucking stupid.
Me and Ryan Phillippe had the same driver ed teacher. Can you believe that, Rob?
Somebody's like,
me too.
You know,
me three.
That's the Wilmington Drama League. That's where Aubrey Plaza got her start. Or was it at Ursuline Academy? I mean, come on. The other thing is, here's the last thing we're going to say about this, and we're not going to ring the bell again. But all we have to say is somebody that we know that gets a lot of clicks, we write about this person 9-10 times a year. Did he do what we call on YouTube SA? Yes, he did. You know, is he a star? A Delaware star? Does he do music? Is he phony baloney sort of potentially rapist SA guy? Maybe. I always wanted to say that.
Yeah.
I never got that off
you
my
nailed
chest.
It.
I never really got that off my
no,
chest.
No, you nailed it. There's a guy at my son's daycare who wears a St. Louis Cardinals hat. And I always call him Jimmy Allen to myself because he looks a lot like him too. And Carl, I hope you appreciate that.
Look, I said it now. I hope. Is that okay? Is that okay? Carl, how is the book coming? It's been a few weeks since we've discussed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's slow. I don't think anything's happening before the election, most likely. But
well, that begs another question. How's the primary season going?
Well, I think people are going to start seeing some stuff in the next few weeks that's going to make them excited.
Did you guys hear what just happened? Bill, did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
This guy's he has a title. He's the
political director of the working for, yes.
I was going to say political director, but I didn't want to. I actually wasn't sure if that's exactly what it was. The political director of the Delaware Working Families Party is saying, and I quote, when it comes to the primary season, a lot of people are going to be excited. Did you use the word excited? Excited. People are going to be excited. Now, he's saying that for this audience. We know who this audience is, and we know what they get excited about. I think we all know that. And so you guys take that as you want. Do you want to say anything more about that?
No.
Do you want to say anything more about a voicemail that I got earlier today about that?
I think I can tell that person that we're working on it.
How about the other voicemail where we're going to call the person a concerned constituent, a concerned citizen, a concerned Delawarean of a pretty high regard. He called into the show and had a very sharp comment about what he thought was a total disgrace.
Disgrace.
He said, disgrace. Are we working on that? Are we working on that? Without telling people who the disgrace is or who the caller was.
Yeah.
Was it a caller? Was it a great? Who's it? We love this caller.
If there is a disgrace, we're working on it. We're not a big fan of disgraces.
We hate disgraces, folks. Some of you have disgraced yourselves. It's not great. Some of you have, number one, as many people have said this, Bill has said this many times, as many people have said, you shouldn't, like, people listen to this that don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like what we're saying. They're like, oh, these guys, they stink, or whatever. Which, again,
why are they talking about Moneyball again?
We don't. We, look, why are they talking about baseball? It's baseball. But yeah, you don't have to listen. If you don't like it, don't listen. If it makes you scared, because I feel like it makes people scared. That's the thing. And you know, the one thing that works against greed and fear is numbers. So I can understand why people would be a little bit uncomfortable with the people like the stuff we're doing. However, if you don't like it, stop listening. I'm begging you to do that. Don't let this is horrible stuff. Carl does the best he can with it after the fact. If you don't like it, don't fucking listen. Otherwise, you're fine. I was censoring myself because I wanted to fucking go off, but you know what happens. You know, people, they don't understand what's happening. I hate it.
It's the damn thought police.
I don't know if we're woke or anti-woke. That's what I've been saying. Are we woke or anti-woke?
Woke can't exist without anti-woke. They need each other. They used to trade off all the time.
That's right. There was a give and take. There was like a moderation. Like there was like a, there was a this, but then there was also a that.
Right.
There was like a guy who loved banking and making money and corporatizing, privatizing stuff and was a reactionary who called himself a Republican, like a Roth. Then there was a guy who thought all the same shit, called himself a Democrat, and they just came together.
Mm-hmm.
They just...
Just keep it tax-free.
Just
at the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
You know what? I bet at success, you know, the succession of governor to governor, you know, you leave a note for your for the incoming gov, for your successor. You
put in the desk.
Yeah, you put it in the desk.
In the desk. I have a... It's a picture of Susan and me at some concert somewhere in a photo booth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but the note says, keep it tax-free. Keep it tax-free. We're going to keep property taxes under $2,000 for everyone.
Look, if anybody...
And then if it goes any higher, people are going to start complaining about it. It's unfair.
Look.
We moved to the tax-free state.
We came here to not pay any taxes. And if I have to pay $45 more a month, I'm going to fucking freak out. I'm probably going to go to like a meeting and start drawing triangles.
Right.
Because, again, we have Here's what we have.
Realty transfer tax, receipts tax, city wage tax. All of that is a triangle, okay?
That's a triangle. That's one triangle.
All right.
But that's only one triangle.
All right.
The other triangle.
Listen to part two for the other triangle.
Yes. The other triangle is BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard.
That's right.
That's a triangle. That's two triangles. That's a. And now, as soon as we find the third triangle, we have a try. We have a 3-3. And when you have that, that's like the devil. Carl, is this shit working? Is this political shit working with the real estate shit? Are you gonna admit that it's really not working, or are we gonna just turn these fucking microphones off?
No, I got my line. I'm sticking to it.
God damn it!
I got three lines.
All right, fuck y'all. Left is fucking left is best.